Please excuse the audio quality of this episode. We did our best.
What's up, nerds? I'm Hillary, and this is the Anatomy Nerd Podcast. In conversation with me today, I have Alex Machado. Alex is a tattoo artist in Sao Paulo, Brazil, who loves to study anatomy. He has been a tattoo artist for almost 3 decades with a focus in realism. His work that particularly caught my eye and my attention was his anatomical drawings on pizza boxes. You heard that right, guys. Pizza boxes. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Hello, Hillary. Thank you for having me here. It's the first podcast I'm doing, never did before, so
fun. You know,
getting used to the format.
Uh-huh.
That's
definitely
really cool.
Yeah, and add it to the resume. Add it to your extensive resume. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you about tattoos and the skin and how the skin like accepts a tattoo and adapts with it and, you know, and grows with it and changes with it. So we're going to be nerding out a ton about that. But before we dive into that, I want to start by talking a little about the anatomy of the skin, which is kind of, you know, going to be, you know, very much so the anatomy of a tattoo as well. So our skin is part of the integumentary system, as people know, and it's the largest organ of our body with a total area of about 20 square feet, roughly, depending on your body, of course. Our skin protects us from the elements, helps regulate body temperature, prevents entry of bacteria, of course, if it's not, you know, slashed or poked or whatever. It helps to make vitamin D when exposed to the sun. And it permits the sensation of touch, heat, and cold. And it takes in really cool things like ink for tattoos. So our skin has 3 layers. That very outer layer that you know, that you see with your eyes is the epidermis. And that's just that outermost layer of skin. It provides that waterproof barrier and creates our skin tone too. And then right underneath that is the dermis. That's just right underneath the epidermis. And it contains tough connective tissues, hair follicles, and sweat glands. The dermis is where ink of a tattoo goes and stays. And Alex and I are going to be talking about that and like how that works. And then right underneath the dermis is the deeper subcutaneous tissue called the hypodermis. And it is made of fat and connective tissue. So some fun facts about our skin. Your skin takes on different characteristics like thickness and color and texture all over your body. For example, your head contains more hair follicles than anywhere else, but the soles of your feet have none, as Alex points to his head. I love it. So in addition, the soles of your feet and the palms of your hands have much thicker skin than other areas of your body. So that's going to affect how it accepts a tattoo ink, like how it works with getting a tattoo. It's just gonna look and be different, like and evolve differently. So like a tattoo is literally going to last longer like on your arm than like on your hands and your feet, because that skin is just like sloughed off really, really, really easy. Another thing that we're going to be talking about is how tattoo ink stays in the skin. And that has to do a little bit with the immune system. And what else? Like, you had mentioned something else when we were chatting, Alex. How does tattoo ink stay in the skin?
Mostly because the phagocyte process, done by the macrophage cells. Mm-hmm. When you apply the ink, you break the first barrier, the epidermis.
Yes.
Then you got the dermis. Uh-huh. And you got the dermis, most of the pigment go into the kind of encapsulated by the macrophage. They try to englobe.
Like they kind of like envelope it.
Yeah, they try to digest it, but the pigment is way thick, so the macrophages digest, so phagocytes, so they kind of not solidify it. It's a different term. Don't remember the term by head, but it's kind of envelope they do around. Mm-hmm. When they die, another one comes and do the same process. Mm-hmm. So it holds the pigment in the same place. Mm-hmm. That's why tattoos doesn't deform it.
Mm-hmm.
No, but once you, there is a study from 2017, I think, about a scientific study about what the laser, when you erase a tattoo, how the laser does this, affects this process. When it breaks the skin and breaks the pigment in smaller particles.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yes, but the smaller particles happens the same process with the thicker ones. Another macrophage comes and try to digest and hold it in the same place. So that every time it goes getting, you get smaller and smaller.
Well, because it's common to have to do that laser process a few times, right? When you're doing a laser removal?
Yes.
Okay.
Problem is, sometimes it depends the kind of laser you're using. It breaks not only the tattoo pigment, but also the natural melanin. And that's why got like whiter skin over the tattoos during about a year or two, you know?
Oh, interesting. So would you recommend somebody who's looking to remove a tattoo to either maybe decide to remove the tattoo with laser remover or to just maybe pick another tattoo to do like a cover-up?
It depends the goals the person wants, the results the person wants. Sometimes
that's true.
Some people need to have it completely erased because job issues or stuff.
That makes sense.
Like, not today too much, but military career used to be more prejudiced tower status, apart from the Navy, you know? But today, not too many problems. We have even
not at all.
Cops here with facial tattoos here in Brazil.
No way!
Yeah.
Are tattoos more acceptable in Brazil than in like the United States, do you think, or do you know?
I think it's the same. I think the States are always ahead, you know? States and Europe.
I don't know. Maybe some parts of the States.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe some. You're not gonna find tattoos on what's the name of the guys? The Amish.
Oh no, definitely not. No. Yeah, that's a different, just like cultural decision on there. But yeah.
Yeah, you have always people who doesn't accept stuff, you know.
Definitely. I mean, tattoos are a very personal decision, right? Like, I myself have several, you have several. Like, we are obviously, like, in the, like, tattoos are okay crowd. But, like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, with people that are like, nope, not my thing, not going to do it. Something that I accept. But yeah, I'm very much so in the, like, tattoos are rad crowd. I have 5, and I want more. I always want more.
Always more.
God, it's ridiculous.
Like a big addiction, yeah.
Seriously though, when somebody told me forever ago, like, oh, you know, they're kind of addicting, I was like, yeah, BS. No, they're not. I really truly believe they are now. Like, I'm kind of addicted. I don't really get how people can just like be like, get one tattoo and they're done. I'm like, no, I want so many more.
I think I have no customers with just one tattoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember, at least from now, I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of you and your customers and all that stuff, how did you get started in your career as a tattoo artist? You've been tattooing for 30 years. That's pretty significant. Tell me about that, how you got
Technically
started.
Technically 28, but you can say 30, yeah.
Well, okay, we'll round up. But yeah, 28 years.
It's okay. It's picky stuff. I began tattoo because I was always involved with drawing and art. I had many related people in my family who were professional artists, like normal stuff, like oil painters, you know?
Yeah. Very
so
different
medium. I grew in art environment, but at the same way, because of this stuff I have of difficult to deal with authority. So at that moment wasn't easy to deal with the traditional art approach like Martians and galleries and stuff. You know, wasn't my world. Still wasn't.
Just not what you wanted to do.
Still isn't. No. Then tattoo was kind of the solution for me to live by art without, in a kind of independent way, you know?
Yeah.
Like totally. Relying on more on talent than on status bullshit.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So the artwork that you had sent me on Instagram, because we found each other on Instagram, which I just love. I love Instagram in that way, that it just connects people all over the world. You sent me some of your anatomy art on pizza boxes. Tell me about how you started practicing drawing. I mean, really, really, really accurate and detailed, amazing anatomical drawings on pizza boxes. I love it.
Thank you. I like to study, you know, things that are cool, you know, so that I really enjoy. So when this pandemic hit here, we had to stop tattooing.
Yeah.
In order to prevent ourselves, our families, and our customers.
Yes. Because,
you know, so I had to flow this art fever through different mediums. So one day I was here with mom and dad. We had Sunday pizza, and I looked to the pizza box, because in USA they're square shape. We have round yes. pizza boxes here.
Yeah, I noticed that. So, which makes more sense, but you know.
Yeah. Then I was looking to this and say, well, maybe I can draw over this. And I tried the first one at school with using a big pen. Big pen?
Yeah, a big pen.
Yeah, normal big pen. And it worked. And then I tried other materials like expired tattoo inks.
Uh-huh. I mean, you weren't going to use them anyways, so there you go.
You have to dispose them, so let's uh-huh. give him a use, because it's really good pigment. You know?
Yeah.
About 11 years, they sponsored me the Electric Ink, the brand of tattoo materials here from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And they send us the pigments. We use them. We have a validation date. So when it expires, we bring to home and use to paint.
That's
so
cool.
Because it's good pigment, you know, it's really good quality pigment. It's a waste to have to post them.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's cool that you found a use for them instead of just tossing them in the garbage, you know?
Yeah. How many I dispose of? Many of them before discovered this.
Yeah, okay. Sure. How long does ink last? Like, when you receive a package, like, how long do you have before you reach that expiration date?
It's about 2 years unopened, uh-huh. Closed. And once you open, you have 6 months to use.
Okay, got it.
And here you have this rule.
Yeah.
I'm still fighting with the words, you know, to translate Portuguese to English in my head.
No. You are okay. You're doing absolutely incredible, and I appreciate that you're even doing this episode with me. It's amazing. It's really cool.
It's really fun. I'm sorry, guys, who are doctors and have degrees, because, you know.
Oh, hush. No, don't apologize. No.
I'm not there, but
I tell people that the Anatomy Nerd podcast is a casual podcast. It isn't, you know, a med school lecture. It isn't your, you know, pre-med class. It isn't, you know, a TED talk or whatever. It's a chill, casual podcast with a bunch of people that, you know, range from like, you know, doctors and nurses and PhD individuals who are very, you know, highly educated and very, you know, how do you say, I don't know, hold a high esteem, you know, all the way down to, you know, just kind of, not your average Joe, but like, all the way down to like, you know, not down to, I don't want to say that either.
No, I understand what you mean. It's kind of average people, you know, but in a good way.
In a good way. And just like all the way down to like just different individuals doing different things, like illustrators and anatomy tutors. I did an episode, a really fantastic episode with an anatomy tutor.
I saw it.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's a casual podcast. It's not a serious, lecture-y podcast. It kind of allows for episodes like this where it's like, okay, we're going to be talking about anatomy and we're talking about the skin, but we're also talking about tattoos, and like, who better to talk to about that than somebody who's been tattooing skin for 30 years? Like, you are an expert. You are, you know, the authority on this topic. So I am very pleased you're here.
It's good because here in Brazil we have all the genetic material, you know, so we're a very mixed country.
Yeah.
So this taught me to work on many different skin.
Yeah.
Textures and colors.
Can you tell me more about that? Like, what is it like tattooing different kinds of skin? What are the things that you have to consider when you tattoo different skins?
Yeah, even same people's skin, you have to approach in a different impact way on different places of the body of the same person.
Yeah.
So, but when you have totally black skin, like African skin, the blackest you can have, you can tattoo, you do the same process, but after the healing process, you don't see much of the result, at least what I had as experience. I did, because a friend of mine requested to, he said to me, I know probably it's not gonna be popping up like you do on lighter skin, but I want to myself know I have it.
Oh, yeah.
It's really okay.
I love that.
Really.
That's
nice.
Really
yeah.
cool.
Really cool. It's not purely static stuff. It's meaning stuff. It's different. I never tattooed what's the name of the guys have no melanin?
Albino.
Albino, yeah. Never tattooed an albino guy. I tattooed, I had three experiences with vitiligo.
Vitiligo, yes.
Vitiligo, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting one because vitiligo changes over time. It's not like you have a vitiligo pattern, you know, in the skin. It changes.
Emotional
like it
triggers.
Spreads. Yeah.
You have emotional triggers as well.
Absolutely.
So it was cool, the vitiligo stuff, because I had two girls that I tattooed over, and where you got the vitiligo, it got brighter colors.
Because it's just
That's
that
really
very
cool.
stark white. Is really cool.
It's really nice. It got really nice effect. No? And a guy I tattooed with vitiligo, the part where the vitiligo strike it completely lost pigment.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So whenever a customer that has vitiligo comes to the studio, I explain this story and ask him to fill a form.
Disclaimer?
Yeah, because you never know which side you have, you know?
Right. Very, very interesting.
But so, I like the effect they gave it in the girl's tattoo, the brighter color. It looks like proposital, you know?
It looked like what?
Proposital. On purpose.
Oh, yeah. I bet it looked really different. Like, Did that affect how you planned the like the position of the tattoo or anything? Or even the colors that you used?
Can be done. Can be done, but you know, as you say, vitiligo spreads, moves, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, so kind of unnecessary to even try to plan for that.
But that was a cool experience.
I bet that was. That's awesome.
some darker skin tones, you must restrict some colors in order to have everlasting effect. Like if you have a really dark skin, you must avoid purples and blues
because
they go kinda grayish, you know?
Oh, really? Like
not in a good way. In a good gray, you know.
Not in a good way.
No. It got like burned gray. So
yeah. Not good.
Reds and oranges works well.
Nice.
So you have blacks, reds and oranges, and you have to do more contrast than use subtle tones on darker skins in order to got more durability to the life of the person, because you have to think ahead years. Have to be okay. So you have this kind of stuff. There is nothing to do with color. The fact of the skin is harder or softer, as I see through my experience. So I got people with really darker skin with softer skin than and white people with harder skin as well. So
yeah,
I think it's very individual.
Yeah, the variation that you see is across the board in skin color, right? Like there's no like one hard, fast, not rule, but like a specific expectation, like something. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'll cut that.
It's like you're trying to say there is not one single pattern that works for all.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah it's indeed. Very, you have to adapt yourself to different kinds of colors, and less colors, more roughness of the skin.
Yeah.
Toughness.
How is tattooing wrinkly skin?
Tattooing what?
How is tattooing like wrinkly skin, like old skin? Wrinkly skin.
Wrinkly skin? What's that? Sorry.
No, you're okay. Let's see. How else do I say wrinkly? Like, it's like old, saggy skin, like here, I'll wrinkle my arm skin. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Like wrinkly.
You have to stretch it.
You have to stretch it.
Yeah, there's no way. You have to do like this. You know, like use your hand to.
Okay.
You have to stretch everyone. You do some muscles here.
Use your
muscles. Develop muscles, yeah. You develop muscles.
How do you know how much that stretch in that skin is going to like affect how the tattoo looks like?
Yeah, you do a stencil, so you, most of the times, or you can freehand draw a stencil before, or you can...
Oh, and then, like, the stencil will stretch with it, huh?
Yes, you have to
That's so tough.
You have to outline
wrongly.
I should
have known that. I've gotten a tattoo before. I should know this. That's quite clever.
You have to outline it in a wrong way, you know, because you do, like... this in the skin stretch it.
Right.
So the lines go wobbly. You have to do wobbly to when you leave it, got right place.
It goes to the right place. Okay, interesting. That's really, really cool.
Deconstruct the lines in your head, do whatever you do on the stencil. Then you put that. I see, there's places on the body that you don't need this, like, you know, the thighs, there is very, very, can I say that? When it's like this, what's the name? stretched taut, skin.
Taut and stretched.
Yes, like yes.
Yeah.
You have more problem on the tummy area.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
The ribs.
Oh, the ribs.
Really painful place. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, that was one of my questions. What are the most painful parts of the body to get tattooed?
For me, was this, the throat.
Oh my god.
That was terrible. It's like a...
Oh my god.
Wolverine.
There's no way I would get a throat tat. Oh my god. You're tough, well, dude. You're tough.
This head tattoo was really painful to do it. I don't recommend anyone to do it.
Well, because isn't it more painful on bony parts of your body?
I don't
think like your so. Ribs and your throat and your skull and.
Yes and no, because like, the elbow, this part of the no pain at all.
What? You're lying.
Yeah.
No way. I would think the elbow would hurt a lot.
No, I haven't felt the shin as well.
Really?
No pain. I felt more the potatoes. What's the name of this? Twin muscles.
Which ones? On
the twin muscles on the back of your leg.
Your hamstrings?
Yeah, we call them potatoes.
You call them potatoes? That is definitely the anatomically correct term for them. I love that so much.
Batata da perna.
That's what I'm going to be calling them from now on. You realize that, right? And people are going to be like, wait, what? I'm like, the
leg
potatoes, guys. Get with it. That's awesome. Yeah, so I have one on like the outside of my thigh, and that one didn't really hurt as well. Okay, so, and like that one only hurt just because that tattoo artist had a really heavy hand. I have another one on my other thigh, like more so like on top of the quads, and that didn't really hurt like at all. And I kind of thought it was just because like it was over some pretty meaty muscles, you know, like there was enough like soft muscle for it to just kind of like absorb the like impact, I guess. Is that the right way to think about that?
I think it's more about the amount and the sensibility of the nerves that are in that specific area, you know. I don't know if there is something related to thicker or thinner skin, you know, like this skin is a lot thinner than this
right.
part of body skin, you know. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it has a relation. I don't have an answer for that.
I don't know that it's been studied. Do you even think it's been studied?
I think so. Yes.
Oh, you think so? Ooh, we might have to dig into that and do another episode.
Ah, there's a really cool study they did in 2014, I think. They got 10, what's the name of the people who goes to the studies?
The subjects?
The guys who... like guinea pigs.
Yeah. It's like the 10 like volunteers, I guess.
Volunteers, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was 10 or let's check, fast check this.
You're good. Take your time. Mm.
2014. They observed there is a residual ink that stay on lymphatic nodes, and it appears on image examinations, and it can give you wrong results.
Huh. That's amazing. Okay, send that study my way. I need that. I want to read it. That's incredible. What's the gist of what the study says?
They can generate errors of interpretation on images from PAT and TAC in detection of the sentinel gland in patients with melanoma.
Oh, wow.
So
interesting.
They have no study about if no conclusive study, because there is some studies that says that it makes your immunologic system more activated, and there is some studies that say the opposite. So they have
Just assumed that it would activate the immune system, right? That it would too. because you got an injury, right?
Yeah.
It's technically an injury.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that it also shows that it doesn't. That's super fascinating.
Yeah, but neither of them wasn't a randomic study, proper scientific randomic empiric study. You know, it was conducted with small people. Small number of people, no placebo,
that makes a difference,
so
yeah.
You know, you can have not good results on the missed results.
Certainly.
This was done in the Spanish Academy of Dermatology. This study I told you.
Oh, interesting. Is that is that online? Can you send that to me, or is that at a paper?
Yeah, I have the links. I send you.
Yeah, send them to me. I would love to read it. You know, even if it isn't the most legitimate, it's kind of fun just to, you know, get your eyes on it and analyze it a little bit. Get some new info, perspectives, all that stuff. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's really nice this aspect that nobody even think about, because people used to think tattoos as a pure statical stuff, you know. So, but there is a big health background behind it.
Yeah, there's a science to it, right?
There's a science.
Yeah, there's science to tattoos. There is.
There's been with us since thousands of years ago. There is many mummies with tattoos. Mummies,
yeah.
Like Egyptian mummies.
Yeah. What's your favorite fun fact about tattoos that, like, is just kind of something that you've learned over the years that you'd like maybe even just surprised you?
It's a nice question. Nobody asked me. The fun fact.
I know, I kind of threw this one at you. Take your time.
I think it's good because It's very free art stuff, you know, for everyone who wants, and it's a very personal choice as well, and it's something that you can, sometimes we see in the studio, people like pass through that as a process of rediscover themselves, you know, after some happening that happened to them.
Trauma.
Trauma and good stuff, bad stuff, you know. They use that as a mark, you know.
Yeah, tattoos, you know, the majority of the times are for something very, very meaningful. I mean, I know that every single one of mine, you know, have some, you know, really deep meaning to me. And then, you know, a lot of the people that I know who have tattoos, every single one of their tattoos means something to them, you know. It is kind of fun to see those tattoos that are literally just for fun. Like, you ask the person, they're like, I just got it because I think it's funny. And it's like, those are kind of great. Like, and they're oftentimes like one of, like, some of the best tattoos. They're just like, well, random. Like, I think I posted one in my story a couple of days ago. This guy had a tattoo on his arm that said thin slice or die. And it was like a thin slice of pizza on his arm. I was like, you literally have a piece of pizza tattooed on your arm. That shit's hilarious. So I posted that. I was like, that's my next tattoo idea. And of course I got like family responses going, no. But I love it. Like, I love stuff like that. It's just... It's just for fun. I don't know that I could actually do it, but, you know, I think it's great that others are, you know, have that sense of humor and can totally get a pizza tattoo. Do all of your tattoos have meaning? Or are there some fun just for shits and giggles tattoos?
There is some small ones that are just for fun or for, you know, some cartoons I used to see when I was a small kid and stuff.
Yeah.
Because mostly of them have some meaning behind it.
Yeah. What is the most recent tattoo you've gotten?
This is
skulls. Yeah. Those are gorgeous.
This
very, very nice. Okay, can I ask, what's the meaning behind them?
This is some people may find bullshit, but it's okay.
That's okay. Who cares what other people think?
It's a spiritual protector.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. That's not BS at all. That's really cool. That's really cool.
Cool.
The most recent tattoo I got was of a bear paw with my kiddo's name tattooed on my shoulder blade.
Oh, that's cool. How many kids do you have?
I have one kiddo. Working on the second one.
So. Yeah, cool.
Hopefully.
Keep trying.
I know, yeah, right? That's the fun part. So hopefully number two will be on the way. But, yeah. He's a wild one.
It's really nice. He's a wild
one. Do you have
what
kids?
What kind of... No, I don't. Two...
Like nieces and nephews?
No, I don't. My mother and my... I have... Second degrees, nephews and stuff, because my mom and dad are only sons, both.
Oh, okay.
So I have no first degree uncles, but I have many second degrees ones.
Got it. What were you going to ask? You started to say, what do I what?
What kind of tattoo style do you like the most?
I have American traditional tattoos.
It's really cool. Sailor Jerry ones.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. So the one on my leg that I was telling you about that kind of hurt, it is like an old school tattoo. It's like one of the old school mom and dad heart tattoos. And so it has like the mom heart and the dad heart and then like a yellow ribbon running through it. And then my mom is a nurse, so I have like a nurse's hat kind of like askew on like one side of the heart, like hanging off the heart. And then my dad is an engineer, so I have a slide rule. It's like a tool that's used in engineering. I have a slide rule tucked nice. in his heart, and then there's flowers all around it, and it's just like that very typical old school, like, you know, mom and dad heart tattoo, and I just love that one. That one's probably like the most like American traditional one that I have, and then probably like the most like basic one I have is a tattoo. It's a triangle on my sternum. And that is a tattoo that my friends and I all got together. Like, we just wanted to pick something that was really simple and basic and small that, like, all of us could agree on. It's hard to get, you know, I think there's six of us that can agree on one tattoo. So we were just like, okay, like, let's just pick something really, 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 really basic. And we went with a shape and picked the triangle for various reasons and... then people got the triangle tattooed, you know, wherever they want on their body. So it's like, I have like a really detailed, you know, piece and then like something as simple as a triangle. So I kind of have like all different ones.
Powerful. Triangle is a powerful image.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Well, I like the symbolism in it. You know, it stands for like femininity and change and stability and all that stuff. So I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed that we chose... that we all settled on a triangle.
Geometrical tattoos are really difficult. Geometrical, is that correct?
Yes, geometrical, yeah.
Geometrical tattoos are really hard to make them good looking because you got a design that is done in a 2D flat surface and transferred to a irregular 3D body.
Yeah.
Because when you go, for example, you go something circular to put over your arm. Your arm is not perfect regular like a can of Coke, for example.
No.
It's very irregular. This part is larger, this part is thinner, and so on. So you place a round design there, you got oval shape, because the 3D
totally.
You must understand that to compensate.
Absolutely.
It's hard stuff to do.
I'm sure. I'm definitely sure. And it takes time. Yeah.
Today is faster because, like, we give classes and stuff, so you have steps to understand all the stuff. So,
have you taught a tattoo class?
Yeah. We have.
Have you really?
Yeah. We have a school here. It's Lado B. It translates to B-side art school for tattooists.
That is so cool. How come you didn't tell me that before? That's so awesome.
Me and Andre Rodriguez, the owner, I'm with him about 12 years ago.
Oh, very cool. Oh, man, I would love to take one of your guys' classes. It would be so fun.
That's
so
really
cool.
Yeah.
So what class is it, like a general class or is it like a whole course or what's the breakdown?
It's a whole course. You have the beginner's course where you have I think it's now is 15 days to the basics, the very basics. That is about five classes of practical tattooing on artificial skin to improve, to understand lining, movement, the hand, direct. The correct pressure and hand movement. And you have one day only about health security or procedure.
Precautions and stuff like that.
Biosecurity and stuff. You have one whole day only talking about peripheral. Machinery.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, machines and needles and different types and which one works for what and stuff. You have three practical days to tattoo somebody under supervision. You have some days to watch us tattooing as well, asking questions. Fully paramented. How can I say that? Fully.
Like covered up?
Not covered up, but using aprons and stuff and, you know.
Yeah. Using protective gear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's big difference from the time when I began tattooing. There wasn't, at least here in Brazil, many. It was always Mickey Mouse's, you know. You do stuff. It works Mickey Mouse's there as a slang. Eh? It works in USA when you say Mickey Mouse to something you adapt to do something that's not properly for do that, but you adapt. It works this word. Okay. So you had to use this, or adapt all this stuff that wasn't proper for tattooing. Today you have everything, you know, to begin with. So it helps a lot, and
That's
people
awesome.
Are more open to art. Well, than
so kind of take the learning curve away from learning how to tattoo.
Yeah, sure.
Nice.
It's shorter the time. A lot.
Yeah, I am sure.
You see people 1 year, even less, tattooing really good.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any like tattoo secrets, like how to make like a really good tattoo? Like, what makes a really good tattoo?
We were talking about this about a week ago. With
Andre. Oh yeah.
We got kinda equation to this. It's like you must you must put all of these following items working together in order to get a perfect ink applying.
Okay.
You must set up your machine tune in a way that works for the kind of hand movement that you do, that's specific for each person. You have to use a good quality ink. Mm-hmm. You have to use good quality needles. And you have to find the proper needle setup that works better for the kind of movement your hand does. And there is many other small stuff like the armbands and the way to fight the needle bar and and position you put the customer and you work as well, don't get problems with ears working and make it easy to tattoo to the ink flows to stuff and and the time you took to correctly apply the ink. Not rush yourself, don't rush yourself, what is sometimes difficult because, you know, it's painful.
Totally.
But it's kind of a mix of all this together to do a, how many, there is a very important stuff that people doesn't pay too much attention is to charge. You have a ink bottle. That you put the ink there, put the ink bottle there, and you charge the machine with this this ink from this small bottle to don't get contamination to cross contamination to the bigger bottle.
Right, right.
I see people tattooing a lot. They charge the ink and tattoo a lot of time because you don't. When you look, looks like you apply ink because the blood mix with ink and looks there is more ink than actually has. So you have to charge with more frequency.
Interesting.
I keep talking this point to my students to always use and recharge more. Charge more ink
get
from
more
the ink
that
bottle,
tattoo,
ink caps. This is
that makes sense.
I see that happens a lot. That looks beautiful when you do, but about 4 years or 4 months after the healing process, it go like not solid colors.
Yeah.
Ah, let me say something. Just remember. Beep. Be proud, you and all people from USA, be proud of the tattooing history your country have. You have many, many, many amazing art.
Yeah, we do.
You got the old timers like Sailor Jerry, Lyle Tuttle,
Ed Hardy.
You got Ed Hardy. You got all these old timers, the Good Time Charlie Tattoo Land from Anaheim. And, you know. And you got the... This what I say, the guys who bring more artistic approach between after this, because this old guys they struggle a lot with bad materials, you know.
So,
and you have many guys that push up the tattoos to art, real art standard.
Yeah.
Like this guy pointed you, like Daniel Cook, the guy I told you.
Yes. Right before we pressed the record button, Alex was showing me this other tattoo artist, and it's this guy who does these like very realistic ocean animal tattoos, and they are just absolutely phenomenal. There's more details to those than I think you can even get on like a camera. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's on skin. Like, it's tattoo on skin. It's just beyond.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's amazing.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah. It really is mind-blowing. Like, you don't think you, like, when you look at his Instagram, like, you would almost think, like, you were just looking at pictures of the ocean. Like, you're not, like, looking at skin. It's just, yeah, mind-blowing.
There's really many cool, amazing American tattooists. Phil Garcia, Hannah Aitchison, many men and women, really good tattooists. Many of them, it was my inspiration in the beginning. Yeah?
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Have you tattooed any famous people or anything?
Yeah, but, you know, the most of them, famous people have some curse, I think, with tattoos. They got the worst time.
A curse. That's amazing.
You know Dave Beckham, the soccer player?
Yeah,
football. Sorry, my English friends. I promise to don't say soccer, football.
I know, apparently that's a thing, right? Like,
yeah.
People get upset about that. I don't get upset about it.
I don't get it too, but, you know.
Yeah, no, people get kind of...
It's hooliganism,
yeah. Yeah. They get flustered. Silly.
But, you know, David Beckham, he is a really successful football player. Uh-huh. He have plenty of, you know, recourses, like, you have plenty of money to choose a really good tattooist to do beautiful tattoos to him, and he has a fucking crap, you know, black and white, or sleeve. Fuck.
Does it just break your heart? Does it just break your
heart? Yes. Not like...
I'm over here.
Not like, you know, I'm not judging, because I did really bad tattoos at the beginning, you know? But I don't understand people who doesn't want to improve their activities, you know? Whatever you do it, you always must strive to do the best you can.
Yeah.
Even better if it's possible.
Yeah,
but I see many people there in the most in the tattoo business, it's just like money and number of customers and how fast they did some tattoos. What is really crap, you know? Well, it's okay. It doesn't work for me.
No, and like that's one of the things I respect about you. Like, you're very obviously focused on quality, and I mean, especially from the some of the other pictures that you've sent, like. And like, standard. Like, your guys' communist standard is unreal. Like, the amount of protective gear y'all are wearing right now, I mean, it's because of the pandemic, but, like, that's really impressive. Like, there's a lot of tattoo studios that are open and running right now that aren't doing that, and you guys are, and it's freaking awesome.
That pictures of the gear we use, I sent you, they were from, I think, to 2014.
That was before the pandemic.
Yeah, long before. We set up this...
Is that for the school?
Yes, we set up this standard about from 2009, 2008, more or less.
Uh-huh.
Like, disposable aprons that you see people using non-disposable aprons. So, you tattoo somebody, you have about a meter of spray of blood and ink, because the needle buzz, so it's all got in your clothes. Then you go home, your kid comes to give a hug to you, put his face in all the blood of all the customers you tattooed that day.
Gross. Oh my god. Ew.
I see.
Gnarly.
I see this guy. I'm not gonna say from where.
Yeah.
But I see this guy tattoo 3 customers in this day, go home. I was staying in his place because I just arrived in the country.
Yeah.
He slept with the same clothes. He tattooed. He wake up the next day, the same clothes, and went to work.
Oh no, that's so grody. Didn't even shower? Come on, bro.
No.
Ew, that is so crazy. Just gonna like live with other people's blood on you? That is insane.
It's insane, yeah. People doesn't care. They say, this is you being picky, you know, I do this for 20 years, never got nothing.
Oh my god.
They say this. It's gross.
It is gross. It's really gross. No, but you all set the standards high over there. I respect it. I really respect it.
Yeah, you must respect the person who. When somebody goes to give to have a tattoo by you, they are trusting their bodies to you. You know.
Yeah. So I know it's kind of a big deal.
It's a big commitment, so yeah. You must respect this, you know, you must act in a way that is the better possible, I always think like what kind of procedure I'm doing, my mom, I used to do with, if the customer was my mom, for example, you know. So I always thinking I'm tattooing some like my mom or my dad because
yeah
it's a good parameter. Oh shit! Yeah.
It's like a good like perspective. You know?
Yeah, perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's a good way to think about it because like it
words
really
keep running away from my mind. Yeah.
No, you're good. And dude, that happens while podcasting. Don't worry. Yeah, no, you're and it's late over there, right? Isn't it like 8, 9, 10? Isn't it like midnight?
It's midnight and 8 minutes.
And 8 minutes, okay. Yeah, and you've already had a long day, right? Like you're tattooing all day?
No, today is okay. I only gonna get back to tattoo on the 14th of August.
Oh, so. Nice. Who's your first client?
It's a friend of mine gonna do a big skull. I love to do it.
Dude, okay, I really want a skull tattoo. I've been wanting a skull tattoo for a while.
That's really cool stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard to pick which one. It's really hard to pick the style. And it's like, it's kind of a commitment, right? Because, like, I'm just gonna say it, like, skulls are kind of, they're not as like acceptable as a tattoo as like say like a flower. Like nobody cares about a flower tattoo, right? Like a skull is like kind of dark, right? And like
but you know, it's a very I like skulls because they're very anti-racist tattoo, you know? Because underneath the skin we're all skulls, so it doesn't matter your skin tone or doesn't matter what you believe or what's your profession or rich, poor, we're all skulls, so it's a really good leveling stuff.
Yeah, totally. Actually, that's a really, really great perspective. I like that. I might have to remember that when I think more about getting a skull tattoo. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you told me that. Thank you.
When somebody comes to me and say, I don't like school, I say, well, you are one, you know that one.
Like, you have a skull. That's very true. That is very, very, very true. Yeah, so the skull that I've been thinking of getting is Frank Netter's bony skull. It's like, it's his very famous, very almost like iconic picture of like his like anatomical drawing of the bones in the skull, and the frontal bone is this brilliant blue, and I really just love it. I think it's so cool. I love the colors that he used, and it's just like Netter is one of my favorite anatomists. And
there's a guy who does really good released stuff like that, and you know, anatomic stuff.
Oh yeah.
His name is. He works for. There is. I think he works in two. Do you know Kat Von D?
Do I know what?
Kat Von D.
Yes.
Yes, I think he works in her studios.
Oh, gotcha.
His name is Camille with K.
Oh, yeah.
Camille Mosset.
Okay. I'll have to check it out, dude.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been toying back and forth about whether I'm going to get that tattoo or not. Seriously. I'll let you know if I do. Or maybe you should just come and tattoo me.
That would be cool.
Yeah, come out and tattoo me. Or I'll go to Brazil. How about that?
Cool.
Have if I ever vacation
with your kids and husband.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll vacation in Brazil. And be like, hang on a second. I got to go get a skull tattoo by Alex. Okay, so before I ask my closing question, are there any other like nerdy tidbits about tattoos or the skin or anything that you would like to add?
Well... should be cool to say if you anyone who's listening is planning to have a tattoo, check the artist portfolio before. Check if he follows the local health authorities.
Yeah.
Procedures.
Definitely look for a clean studio. I have walked out at a dirty studio. I've been like, no, I'm not spending my money here. I'm not putting my body on the line for this.
There's some people, some places here that I enter sometimes. I see a tattoo studio and I go in, have a look, and you don't even want to sit on the chair, you know, to talk.
No, that's not okay. Not okay. Yeah.
The bad stuff. All over the world. Here, you know, England.
Oh, it's everywhere. Italy,
everywhere.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter.
I have
where
good
you
places
are.
As well. So check before and be sure that tattoo is like sports. You don't ask a basketball player to play football, you know. So you don't ask a tattooist who does realistic stuff to do geometrical stuff because it's different training we have to do that. So try to find a tattoo artist that fits the style of the tattoo you want.
Yes, that's very important.
Search the internet, you have plenty of information today, easily access, so
totally.
Go for that, you're gonna have a better stuff. You say to the artist your idea. If he says, I can do that, run away.
Totally.
It must shine something, you know? So. Mm-hmm.
No, the best is when the tattoo artist is actually, like, excited about the tattoo. Like, all of the tattoo artists that I've been to, like, they were excited about it. They're like, oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I could totally do that. Like, they were into it. They were like, you know, you want that. You want somebody that's, like, you know, that's just enthusiastic about their work, you know, that means they're going to put the effort into it and, like, giving the details and giving, you know, their all in a tattoo. Because, it's permanent, guys. They really don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
you want to make sure that, you know, you're getting, you know, a good tattoo. But, and then, you know, kind of getting back to the cleanliness thing, too. Like, you really want to make sure that you're walking into a clean studio. That's how you're going to, you know, be able to prevent, like, infection and stuff, you know. So, like, all the things that you were talking about earlier with, like, doing or pouring the ink into the different wells and stuff instead of, you know, going straight into the bottle to prevent that contamination, that stuff matters, you know, make sure that...
Matters a lot, you know. Yeah.
So, when you first go into that studio to talk to the tattoo artist to make the appointment, watch the tattoo artist doing their work. Watch what they're doing. Like, take a peek and see what they're doing, and that really kind of helps you get an idea as to, like, how seriously they take cleanliness, how seriously they take their own standards and their own integrity, even. Like, that's their work on other people's skin. Like, you want to find tattoo artists that take that seriously and, like, take pride in it. So, and it's just going to help keep you safe too. It's going to help prevent infection. So,
well, for sure. You know, the big problem in tattooing you got is hepatitis C.
Yes.
Because you have no, it's a very silent disease. You can discover you have it about 20, 30 years after.
That's so wild, right?
You got it, so you're never gonna remember. And you can get it on doing nails. No, mm-hmm. You can get it everywhere. So, and it's very easily transmissible.
Yes.
So it, according what the treatment we got from the health board, they say it's a very small virus, smaller than physically.
Yeah.
Smaller than the
right.
HIV.
Like the actual size of it is quite small. Yes.
Quite small, yeah. And it's within the human species for a lot longer than the new virus we have. So it kind of learned how to get into us, like infect us in a way to get hidden, you know, and don't show itself. It kind of, I'm not saying about a thinking process, you know, but it's like a long time the virus is, I don't know the proper words in English for that, but it's circulating. I can say that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's circulating between the human species for long time, so
yeah,
it helps. It learned how to live inside us for long time before get detected. You know.
Yeah.
We have about 50% of deaths here. I don't know how the USA numbers were.
Goodness, that's pretty.
And now with, if you combine that with COVID virus, then it's catastrophic. If you got infection and you got COVID, it's almost death sentence.
Yeah, it's awful. Absolutely awful.
There is another stuff that I have to say, but thoughts keep running away from me, you know?
That is okay. Shall we move on to our final question?
Yeah. Go on.
Okay. All right. So if you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
One of them, I'm not sure if Leon Tolstoy or Mahatma Gandhi, maybe Mahatma Gandhi. They were friends. Huh?
Yeah, you know that? Totally.
Yeah, they used to talk each other by that. One of these two. Bob Marley will be a good one to have a chat.
Bob Marley would be so great to have dinner with.
Be really good.
That's
to
awesome.
Have.
I like that.
And Alan Kardec.
I don't think I know who that is. Who is that?
It's a French educator that he was the founder of Spirit. I would like to have a chat with him.
Oh, cool. What would you want to ask him?
Many questions.
Okay, if you could ask him three questions, what would they be?
This guy, he was a student under André-Marie Ampère, the founder of Ampère electrical measurement, you know. And he was a scientist,
uh-huh.
And became an educator, and most of his, under the Pestalozzi method, mm-hmm. And most of his stuff are still in use in France. As it be. What makes him go to study this kind of stuff as he being a scientist like he was?
Uh-huh.
how did he manage to do all his research in a time? Well, he lived in middle 1850s, yeah. And third question, I will have to think a little more to ask him.
Yeah.
But I have about 300 questions to give him.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, especially with a brilliant mind like that, you know, and the questions could be endless, you know, that would be maybe several dinners worth of questions.
One I would love to talk as well as should be Carl Sagan, yeah?
Oh, yeah, totally. That'd be a good one.
That would be an amazing talk, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Your face.
Changing mind one. So really changing mind one.
Totally.
Who would be your three ones?
Oh, man. So the last episode that I just released, or that I'm about to release, I just answered it, and I'll pick three different folks for you. I'll pick three different people.
Cool, nice one.
Let's see here. So, how about Frank Netter? So Frank Netter is, you know, the famous anatomist, and anatomy illustrator.
I don't know him. You send me his.
I will, yeah, I His will. He is long deceased, but he was, you know, his work was very pivotal in medicine. Doctors are still learning from his medical illustrations to this day. So
there is one guy, American guy, you know that Vivian Thomas?
Who is it? Vivian Thomas, I don't think I know him.
He was a black guy that lived during the slavery time in USA.
Uh-huh.
He was the first black surgeon accepted in, I think, Oxford. What's the name? The biggest university you have, not Princeton, the other one.
We've got Yale, we've got Harvard,
I think Harvard, yeah.
Harvard, okay.
Yeah.
We've got a few over here.
Search his name after. There's a movie about him.
How do I not know about this individual? I need to get in the know, man.
He was like a mop guy. Mopping
really?
Floors, yeah. And
I need to watch this documentary. This is cool.
One day he got, like, I think some of the doctors saw the accuracy he had in his hand and bring him. He saved somebody doing a procedure that the doctor couldn't because had hurt his hand.
Oh, wow.
He was later, I'm sure he was accepted as a doctor after even having doing medicine. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a really cool movie about it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch it. You'll have to send that to me. Send that to me.
Which ones? Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. You said one is the anatomy artist, the second?
Yeah, so Frank Netter. And then, you know, the individual that you just mentioned, what's his name again?
Carl Sagan.
Let's just say that he's going to be my number two person, for sure. He would be fascinating to talk to you. Of course, I know Carl Sagan. Duh. And then my third person, maybe even one of those famous tattoo artists that we were talking about. Like, how cool would it be to have, Ed Hardy for dinner?
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Pick his brain a little bit. I mean, his art was amazing. Absolutely changed everything, you know? Yeah. He'd be really cool. So he's my third person.
It was a rough time to tattoo as well because it was post criminal stuff. And
oh, yeah. Very, very taboo.
And about tattooing and related to anatomy, it's good to just remember something important. See, take time with your customer, with your tattooist,
Definitely.
to find to work a design that will fit the anatomy of the place, the body you're putting it.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes you have this awesome subject you want to have tattooed, and you want it in a place, but listen to the tattoo artist, maybe he will advise you to have it done in another place that will fit better.
Totally. You know?
Some people doesn't care about, some people like this aesthetic, non-aesthetic stuff when doing a tattoo, like do a symmetrical tattoo in a non-symmetrical place and stuff, but it's okay, you know, it's taste of person changes from person to person, but take time to work it. I personally, I only do one tattoo a day to have time to talk with people, to have time to draw different stuff, to draw something you don't like and change and do, you know, no pressure, because you're gonna do something that it's probably forever if people doesn't laser eraser.
Yeah, totally.
But you're creating something that people will remind you every time. So take a time, respect this, go slowly, take your time, and have a good experience.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, definitely have fun with it. One of my favorite tattoo memories is I was sitting there and another customer brought in cupcakes and like we were all sitting there like having, you know, some cupcakes. It's like, it's a good time. Like, have fun with it. It's, tattoos are fun. They're not like,
tattoos must be that special fun day you have, you know, the day you're not going to work, you're not going to do plans after, you're just going to enjoy the moment. It's your time, your moment, your moment of have something special changes in your body. So that's the way
it is. A special change in your body. It's really cool. Yeah, that's a very, very, very great way to say that. Love it.
Yeah. Never going to be the empty skin again.
Nope. That dermis is now full of ink. Alrighty, Alex. I think we have given our listeners a ton to think about. And with it, I'm sure that our listeners have learned a lot about the anatomy of a tattoo.
Thank you so much
for coming on the podcast. Before we close, tell our listeners where they can find you and connect with you online and Instagram and all that stuff.
Okay. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram by Alexandre, Alex Punk or Alex Machado. And, well, going to have in the description, isn't it? The links.
Yeah, and I'll be linking your Instagram on my Instagram and everybody. So, you know, if people seeing the posts and, you know, the episode on my Instagram, they'll very easily be able to find your Instagram off of mine. But yeah.
Hillary, thank you very much for the patience and the time and the respect, all to treat this subject in a very serious and respectful way, without any prejudice and stuff, and always good to do new friends all over the world.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've gained a friend in you, Alex. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge about tattooing. I mean, you've been doing it for so long, and it's so cool to learn from a master. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this episode.
No, master, please.
Oh, please. Alrighty, and on that note, we will say goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.